We're continuing in the 11th parak of Maseiros Yesharim that discusses Midas HaNekius. Last week we were talking about Ka'as. This week he talks about Kin'ah, jealousy or envy. HaKin'ah Gamhi Eina Ela Cheson Yediyah V'Sichlos. Jealousy is essentially the result of not thinking, the result of foolishness. Ke'ena Makanem Aviyah Klum La'atzmo. The one who's jealous doesn't gain anything. And doesn't cause the one he's jealous of to lose anything. It just hurts himself. The pasuk we said before, uposet tamis kin'ah. The fool kills himself with jealousy. There are some that take this foolishness so far that if they see their friend having something good that he doesn't have, he'll brood about it. The yidag, the yitztair, and he'll be anxious and upset. That even the things that he does have that are good, he doesn't enjoy, because he's so upset and uncomfortable because what he sees someone else has. The Chacham teaches us, Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei Rekav, Atzmos Kina. Jealousy rots the bones. Then there are others who don't take it that far. They're not so upset. But they do feel some degree of pain. Or at least their spirit cools off. When they see someone ascend a certain level, unless it's someone he's really, really close with, he'll be jealous. Especially if the person who's elevated is someone he's not particularly friendly with. And even more so if it's a foreigner who just moved here recently, like who does he think he is? And you'll see. As far as what they say, after Shiyom and Devam Kismechem, they may say things that sound like they're happy, or agree that he deserves it. But inside, they're upset. This is something which is very common among most people. Even though they're not the extreme of Baal Kina, but clearly they're not free of this trait. Especially if it's a competitor in his business who succeeds beyond his successes. Already we say that men of the same trade hate each other. And especially if one does better than the other. Don't they realize, they don't understand, they don't know, that no one touches what someone else is supposed to get, even by the thickness of a hair. So no one is taken away from me. Everything, absolutely everything, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ibn Hashem, in his unbelievable wisdom that we can't figure out, it's inscrutable, determines what each one gets. What are you upset about someone else's good? It has nothing to do with you at all. This is what the Navi teaches us about the future. In order for the good of Yisrael to be complete, will first have to remove this ugly character trait from our hearts. One would not feel pain when someone else benefits. And the one who's successful wouldn't have to hide it. Or his matters, because others are jealous. That's what it says. The jealousy of Ephraim and the animosity of Yehuda will be ended, will go away. Ephraim Yekanis Yehuda, Ephraim will be jealous of Yehuda. Hu Hashalom v'Hashal v'Hashalom al Chesharis. This is the peace and tranquility that you find among angels. Ashakum Simechim v'Vodasam. Each one's happy in their avoda. Ishi Shalmakomo. Each in his place. Ve'nechem beskanim v'chavir klal. No one's jealous of the other. Ki kulam yoidim emes la'amito. Everyone knows the truth. V'aleizim and rejoice al ha'toyv on the good of Shavi Adam that they have with Simechim v'chalkam, and they're happy with their chelik. They're happy with their lot. there's one to talk about this metaphor at the end of the Malachim. But before we get to that, the Ramchal is telling us that in order to be considered a Naki, it's not sufficient to be free of sin. And that means all the details of chet and so on. But it also has to do with character traits. And we talked about arrogance and gaiva. We talked about temper and kas. And now he's up to kinnah. And he says it makes no sense. Where's the reason, the rationale behind kinnah? Why are people so upset they eat themselves up when they see what someone has and they don't have it? To the point that he just harms himself. He gives himself high blood pressure. He gives himself anxiety. He gives himself all kinds of problems. Rekavat samas kinnah. He rots his own bones. And then there's the second level of the person who doesn't brood openly. He smiles and he congratulates others for their successes. But in his heart, he's not happy. And that itself is a chisaron. Why aren't they happy? Don't you understand that what comes to someone else isn't coming to you, and it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't take away from you? There's no reason to be upset. And eventually, there'll come a time when we won't have kinnah. So there's a few things that we have to understand. First of all, one of the biggest difficulties that we have in the current time, that we place that we live, with envy and jealousy, is that we live in a society that promotes making others jealous of you. Get our lawn furniture and be the envy of all the neighbors. Get our windows and everyone will wish they had those windows in their house. Get this car and everyone's going to drool and wish they had that car. And on and on and on. Everything is marketed that don't you want to be the envy of everyone else? And our answer is no, we don't want to be the envy of everyone else. Why would I want to make someone envious of me? Why would I want to do that? And yet, that is a subtle message that goes through marketing and promotion of products, that don't you want to be the envy of the neighborhood? It's like, that's a madriga, that's a milo. Is it really? That's a milo, that's a madriga? So it's more challenging. And we have to know that there's no mitzvah to make others envious of yourself. And it's the opposite. We should try very hard not to make others envious of us. We should not flaunt what we have. We should not be ostentatious. We try to go out of our way not to be noticed in such a way that someone might be envious. On top of that, there is a natural tendency to be envious. And even though the Ramchal gives this very brief treatment, there is a teva to have kinnah. And the way, I believe it's the Or HaTzaddikim who puts it, if there wouldn't be kinnah, no one would get married, no one would have a house, no one would strive for anything, no one would have any ambition, no one would have any motivation. There is a concept called kinnah soifrim. There is a thing called kinnah soifrim. And that motivates people to be ambitious, to do things, to achieve things, to accomplish things, instead of status quo and not doing anything with your life. So there is an element of kinnah that is utilized for positive growth. Not to brood, not to be upset, but to motivate and to encourage, to strive. And I believe the Lashon of the Chazal is that la'asalavo, everyone's singed from chupas chavero, nichve min chupas chavero, referring to the madregas a person achieves, that if he'll feel bad, he didn't achieve that madrega himself. There are madregas, there are accomplishments that we are capable of, and we should strive for them. And if there wouldn't be any element of kinnah, it could be we would not have that drive. So the Ibn Hashem did create this concept of kinnah that is natural, embedded in our way we're hardwired, the way we say, but it's meant to motivate us to accomplish and to do and to achieve. not to brood about what someone else has that I don't have. That's useless, wasted energy, wasted emotional energy. To strive, to achieve, to do, to learn from someone else, oh, I could do that too. That is a constructive use of the midah of kinah. So we live in a society that promotes making others jealous, so we have to combat that. On top of that, there is a natural tendency to be jealous. We're supposed to channel that to positive, constructive things, but very often it goes to unconstructive things. One of the most common scenarios that we talk about with jealousy on a very simple level is a child who complains that their sibling got a bigger piece of cake, got a bigger piece of ice cream, got a bigger, whatever on their plate is not what they have on their plate, and that makes them upset. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, Zichron Levracha, writes that he remembers only one time ever he got a patch from his mother. He thinks he was 8 years old. His mother gave him a slap in the face because he looked at his sibling's plate. He didn't say anything. He didn't complain. He looked. And his mother said, don't look in other people's plates. It's not for you. You don't look at what other person has on their plate. And he writes this as a musar, obviously, that there's a concept of don't worry about what other people have. You have, you'll be okay. Don't start looking at what other people have. And this is a yesod he writes about in his youth, in a perhaps innocent context, but ultimately this is a very big deal in life. There are a lot of people who are unhappy because they look at what's on someone else's plate, and I don't mean their dinner serving. I've heard this from former students concerned about their younger sisters who are holding by shidduchim, who are engaged, and there's too much contact with their friends who are engaged, or couples, and, well, he does this, and her husband does this. And why are you involving yourself with what other people's husbands are doing or not doing? Don't, it's not going to be good for your shalom bias. It's not going to work out good for you to tell your husband, well, you know, so-and-so gave his wife flowers for whatever it is. Makes no difference. It's not going to be good. Don't look at someone else's plate. It's not healthy. So this older sibling was concerned about the younger sibling, what you tell them, what you do, whatever. But that is an issue. It is an issue. It's very destructive. Don't look at other people's plates. It's not nogeh. It's not relevant to you. You'll never enjoy what you have if you're always seeing what someone else has. The scary thing in my mind about kinah is how difficult it is to root out unless you are really, really steeped in emunas Hashem. The antidote to kinah is Tzom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I have is from Hashem. My shidduch is from Hashem. My bashert is from Hashem. My job is from Hashem. My house is from Hashem. The Gemara says it. The same Gemara that says it's predetermined who marries whom says whose house you're going to live in. It's the same concept. This is your house. This is your makom. The person moves from one house to another. Okay, so whatever it is. It is. I mean, that's the zivik sheni of houses, whatever. But the point is that what you have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's it. So you know, Klamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enjoy what Hashem gives you. Be grateful for what you have. Be appreciative of what you have. And if you want to strive for greater and better, focus on Ruchnis instead of Gashmis. But people who don't have that really never escape the clutches of kinah. So there's this fellow who did a study on envy. I imagine a psychologist. I don't think a psychiatrist. I think a psychologist. He wrote a book. The book, I think, was at least 500-600 pages long. And I believe the title is called Envy. It's called Envy. A whole study of jealousy. And there, he records how the witch hunts, I don't know enough of history to tell you that this happened in Salem, but he writes how this happened in Africa and other places. Anyone who was successful when someone else was not was accused of being a witch. Because why else is things working out for you and not working for the rest of us? and they'd kill them. And it was driven by jealousy. It was simply envy. Why do they have a successful crop and ours all died? Must be they're doing witchcraft. Must be Keshav. And they'd kill him as a witch. And he writes how historically people would accuse their neighbors who were more prosperous or successful than they were. It must be witches. So they have to kill them because they're witches. And it all stems from envy. It all stems from this. Doesn't the Mishnah say, Marbe Noshim, Marbe Kshofim? So Pashut Vitaich, we explain it, that if a man has many wives, they're all envious of each other, so they'll cast spells on each other. But it could also be, they'll accuse each other of being witches. I don't know. He goes on to say something else, which I found absolutely fascinating. In the early days of the state of Israel, they set up kibbutzim. I think the truth is the kibbutz phenomena predated the state of Israel. There were kibbutzim before the state of Israel was proclaimed. But you have this concept of a kibbutz. And on the kibbutz, everyone's the same. Everyone's the same. Their homes are identical. They share everything. Their clothes are the same. Their children are raised communally. So the goal is to root out envy. There's nothing to be jealous of. You can't be jealous of anyone if we wear the same clothes, and we have the same home, and our kids are raised the same. Like, where's the room for envy? And you would think of that utopia. Again, I think the idea behind the kibbutz was more an economic concept than it was a midos improvement concept. I don't know if they were out to improve midos, but there should be no room for envy. And this researcher found that there was envy. What were they envious of? My son is an Air Force pilot in the Army. My son is a paratrooper in the Army. My son got this many medals for injuring himself in battle. They would find things that aren't really things to be envious of, to be envious of. They would create things, so to speak, to be envious of. So you don't have your outfit, you don't have your jewelry, you don't have your car, you don't have your house, we'll find something else. It's like as if there's a natural tendency to be envious, and we'll find something to be jealous of. We'll find something. And they did. In their children's rankings in the Army and the Air Force, whatever it was. And that's how they would be jealous of each other. So they didn't get rid of jealousy. So, again, jealousy is a natural thing. And we have to control it with our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place in the universe and how everything we have comes from Hashem. And then what am I jealous of? What you have doesn't take away from me. Your car in the driveway does not affect my car. Your house doesn't affect my house. Your wife doesn't affect my wife. And on and on. Nothing, one has nothing to do with the other. So you can sincerely congratulate someone for an accomplishment or an achievement, even if you don't have it, because it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. I'm not saying it isn't a madriga. It's a madriga. It's a madriga. But the fact is, it has nothing to do with you. No one took away from you. I would hope that when one girl gets engaged among a group of friends, everyone is sincerely happy for her. But there might be someone who isn't. There might be someone who's not happy, because why not me? So it's the same thing. She didn't take away your chosen. Your chosen is not her. It's different people. Like, she didn't hurt you. She didn't take your chosen from you. It's how well you internalize this concept, how well you take it to heart, how you understand it. And you can even have two people applying for the same job. Two people applying for the same job. And they went to the same schools and the same qualifications, and one gets it, one doesn't. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Panos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're not going to congratulate them because you stole my job. That was my job. I should have had that job, not you. Why should you have had it more than them? It's in Hashem's hands. It's not in your hands. So what are you upset about? Again, I'm not saying it isn't a madriga, but that's really the concept here. If you fully understand that no one stole my job, that's my job. We both applied. We did hishtadlos. They got the job. So I'm happy for you. Then you have competitors in business. So Ramchal writes, to start off with, Chazal tell us, kol umen senecha bi, the natural tendency is for competitors not to get along. Of course, there are exceptions, and there's some very beautiful stories. I'm sure you heard some of them. There was a bakery that had a fire in Muncie, a very well-known bakery, and they couldn't do anything till the whole bakery was gutted and refixed and whatever. A competitor told them, you come into our bakery on Wednesday and Thursday, bake your stuff, and so you can sell it for your customers for Shabbos. Here, a competitor is giving them their bakery to use. And I think there's a similar incident a number of years back when Klein's and Mahadron, perhaps, two competitors in the ice cream business, one of them had problems with all the freezers were down, like for days, that's some kind of big problem. And the other one said, come, use our freezers, no problem. You just use our freezers for your stuff. That's beautiful. That's what it's supposed to be. One doesn't steal from the other. One's not taking from the other. Panosa Makadosh Baruch Hu, the same regimen gives me Panosa, gives him Panosa. It doesn't steal my Panosa. I can give him my freezer space, and I can lend him use my ovens to bake. It won't hurt my Panosa. My Panosa Makadosh Baruch Hu. Not everyone chaps that. Not everyone grasps that. So don't understand that. But if a person's on the Madrega to understand that, then let them use my freezer. I'll use my freezers, use my thing. And it's a beautiful, beautiful stories of Bikam Chiyasol. It's unbelievable. But that's this understanding, that's my Hashem. So what difference does it make? I don't lose anything by doing that. It's even a story, the Makolet story. This fellow opens a Makolet across the street from another grocery in Eretz Yisrael, and a fellow comes in and says, you know, you open a store, don't put these things here. He shows him how to set up the aisles and how to arrange things that it's more appealing to the customers and easy for people to make purchases. And then he says, he was so appreciative. He says, who are you? I have the grocery store across the street. The grocer from across the street came to help his competitor set up his store. Because he understands, you're not taking my panosa, you're not stealing from me. My panosa is my Hashem. So it's going to hurt me to help you out? I'll help you out. It doesn't hurt me. That's this madriga we're talking about. So there becomes a very big question, a really serious question. If you take what I'm saying to its logical conclusion, so then how could there ever be a claim by one business that another competing business is hurting their business? And you shouldn't be allowed to open your business. Hasagas gavul. You've heard the concept. You're coming into my turf, my territory. What are you doing here? And there are actually guidelines for hasagas gavul. They get blurred over time. Years ago, there were people who had come into our city to sell wigs. They were not from here. They're from other places. And they would come for a day or two to sell wigs. Now, there were people locally selling wigs. Not everyone likes the local wig merchants, and some people do like them, and some people don't like them. So if you don't like them, you go someplace else. But we have local people who deal with wigs. And they were very upset. What's someone come from the outside to sell wigs? You're stealing our business. You're taking business away from us. And I remember that one of the local shuls was hosting this outside party. This goes back many years. And people called me very upset. So I called the rabbi of the shul. I said, you know, why are you hosting this? Someone asked me. I said, so we have local vendors. People, then they have a hard time making panosa. And you bring someone from the outside. It doesn't make it easier for them. You shouldn't be hosting it. So he agreed. And at the end, the out-of-town person went to a hotel and rented two rooms and did their business out of the hotel. And for a few years, they came and did that, and they stopped. I don't think they come anymore. But they would work out of a hotel room. But it wasn't like a local shul was sponsoring, because people were upset at the local shul. Why are you doing this? There's such a concept of Hasagas Gavul, where you come from the outside, taking away business from people who are local. Again, with the world of internet shopping and everything else, it's almost disappeared, this whole thing, this concept. But in any event, I know that with food establishments that sell food ready-to-eat restaurants, everyone gets upset. Once upon a time, we had a JCC on 10 Mile Road. And the JCC had a place to sell food. And then a fellow comes and opens a restaurant in the stores where Zeman's are in Bornstein's. So JCC was all upset. How do you do this? I have my restaurant, and you're opening a restaurant there. Well, you're not next door, you know, JCC is further down 10 miles. This is on Greenfield. Like, what are you worried about? Takes away my business. You know, these are both local people who had these stores. And the bottom said, that's okay. They're allowed to open the restaurant. Then someone else comes along and wants to sell food in the same strip as Zeman's and Bornstein's. And the fellow has the restaurant complains, one second, I have a restaurant here. How do you let someone else open a restaurant here? No, it didn't bother him when he opened up and it bothered JCC. But now when someone else wants to open up, now it does bother him all of a sudden. In the end, the restaurants didn't make it, and the restaurant closed. I mean, now none of those exist today. I remember years ago in Baltimore when a restaurant that had been around for a number of years renovated and put a lot of money to redo it, to remodel. And all of a sudden, another restaurant opens up, different style. The first restaurant was a sit-down restaurant with waiters comes to your table, a regular restaurant. The second was more like a fast food place where you go in and you just pick up your stuff. You sit at a counter and you sit down at a table, just find your seat and self-serve. There's no waiters or anything like that. A different type of place. But the first one was very upset. I'm here all these years. And how do you do this to me? So for whatever reason, the Vadakashas in Baltimore decided, okay, we're not giving the new place a hechsher for 6 months. For 6 months, they don't get a hechsher to give the other business who was there before and had just renovated an opportunity to reestablish themselves. But you know that if you have a kosher restaurant without a hechsher, you're not going to survive 6 months. So one of the families involved in opening this new place were Talmidim of Yeshivas Nei Yisrael. And when this decision was made, Rosh Yeshiva was very agitated of Kolevsky Olav Shalom. He went with his wife to the new restaurant, and he ordered and he ate in the restaurant without the hechsher to show the city that this is fine. And within a week, they had the hechsher. And both are still there today. This goes back over 30 years, the story. They're both still existing, and they have their own businesses, and they have their own things. But he felt it's not right. You don't want to give a hechsher to a new place because the other one complains. There was room for both in the city. So the question is like this. Here's the burning question. How can a person come with a claim of Hasagas Gavul if there's no such thing? It's all from the Benesh Lalam. So how can there ever be such a legal claim of Hasagas Gavul? There is such a thing. There's a legal claim of Hasagas Gavul. Shulchan Aruch talks about it. When do you say it's a problem? When you don't say it's a problem? Are they coming from out of town? Are they local? If they're out of town, we don't let them. If it's local, we do let them, unless you'll drive the other person out of it. There's all kinds of rules and regulations. I understand. What rules? What do I care if a Shetel Macher comes from Chicago, Cleveland, or Toronto and sells Shetels in our city? Tell the local Shetel ladies, learn some Musar, and everything is good. But we don't say that. We say, no, it's not right, Taki. You shouldn't come from the outside. You're hurting local business. Why am I saying that? It's an unbelievable question when you think about it. When you understand the concept, then there can never be Hasagas Gavul to begin with. And yet there is a whole discussion in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, about Hasagas Gavul. So the Chazon Ish addresses this specific question, and he says, the parsha of Hasagas Gavul is a halacha in hishtablus. And once I've made my hishtablus, I make my claim Hasagas Gavul, I'm done. The Beis Din could say, it's not Hasagas Gavul, leave me alone, goodbye, and that's enough, because I made my hishtablus. My parnosis doesn't depend on Beis Din, it depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't depend on my competitor, it depends on Hashem. But hishtablus is, I open a store. Hishtablus is, you have a supplier. Hishtablus is, you make a claim of Hasagas Gavul if it's a potential Hasagas Gavul. But ultimately, the Beis Din could say, no, don't worry about it. You'll be fine, give him a bracha, and it's over. I made my hishtablus, that's all. That's how he learns. Chazon Ish says it's just hishtablus. That's all it is. Ultimately, your panasa is not affected a ki hu zeh from the other person. In the rules of hishtablus, there's a claim called Hasagas Gavul. And at that point, you're done. Once you've made your claim, you made your claim. If Beis Din will accept your claim, or if they don't accept your claim, that's up to Beis Din to decide. It won't make any difference. It won't make any difference. If the Beis Din accepts or rejects your claim, it will not have anything to do with your panasa. The panasa Hashem, not from Beis Din. It's just your hishtablus. It's part of hishtablus. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. It's very powerful. I try to explain this to some of them, they don't like it. But that's really what it is. The claim of Asagas Gavul is just a claim. It's all it is. It's a hishtalus. It's not an MS. Chas v'shalom. You really think that this person could affect someone else's panasa? That's not how it works. No one touches someone else's panasa. No one takes from anyone else. There's a hishtadlus. The hishtadlus is, I can make a claim, I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. That's it. I made my claim. Everything I'm done. Do I have to make a claim? No. I don't have to make my claim either. I don't have to carry every product. I don't have to make every claim. But ultimately, that's all it is. The fellow who helped the makola to open the course of the street, he could have claimed Asagas Gavul. Why should I bother? It's all in Hashem's hands. What difference does it make? I'll help him set up a store. Klein's Mahadran, the two bakeries in Muncie. You could claim, you want to claim Asagas Gavul. That doesn't affect my panasa. Hold me, your panasa doesn't depend on that. It all is from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's just an important yisoid you have to live with and drive into your head. And then you can actually be happy for other people. Be happy with what you have. You can enjoy what you have. And enjoy what other people have. Because it has nothing to do with you. It doesn't hurt you. Finally, he writes this thing that we know by Malachim, there's no kina. There's Semechim b'Vadosam, everyone in their place, no one's Meskana b'Chavero. There's no kina by Malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, you want the Torah, Malachim can't enter Baruch Hashem. Why are you giving Torah to Klai? So we should be long up here. So the Baruch Hashem says to Moshe, you answer them. So it goes for the Seres Adivis. Kibbutz of Aim, you have parents. Lo Sachmo, Lo Sasave, you have kina, you have tachrus, you have competition, you don't have any of these things. It's not no geya for them. So it's a metaphor, but it's not shayach. They're not capable of kinna. A mach is not capable of kinna. It's not something they're capable of. So the point for a human being is to rise above it, but not that it should. Again, a malach is a malach. This is not a gay by malach. When it comes to people, it's obviously a challenge, something that we have to work on. But ultimately, the stronger your emunah, the stronger you understand that you have what you're supposed to have, be happy with what you have, there's no room for it. It doesn't exist. There's no room for it. The only thing you can do is you can strive to be better, you can be ambitious, try to motivate yourself. That's good. But not chas v'shalom to be jealous that you feel that you're missing something because of what someone else has. That's the nikias that we have to work on, that we don't feel that something's lacking in our lives because someone else has something that I don't have. That's what we have to avoid.